So, why should we make the best of the rest of our lives? We've got our ticket to heaven. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's blessing. He wants to bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us. So why can't we just go on as we've been going on? Why should we try and make the best of the rest of our life? See, the only thing we ever contribute to God is our sin. And he takes it. And that's absolutely lovely. So, why don't we just get on? Well, we're going to look at the scripture and try and answer this question. Jesus told lots of stories about people having to give an account. We have to give an account. One day we're all going to have to give an account. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Sounds absolutely awful. But actually we shouldn't be afraid of that. Do you know, when you're learning to drive, there is a day where you have to give an account. You have to go to the test centre and you are tested. Why do you bother to do it? You bother to do it because the benefits of getting your driving licence are immense. And the same thing happens with this. So we're going to have to give an account. Do you know, this year, on my allotment, I grew some sweet corn. And the sad thing about having to grow sweet corn is that at this time of year, I have to do a lot of digging. But why do I do the digging? Because I can see the sweet corn at the end. So it's a bit of a grind at the moment, having to go wrap up warm, go out and do the digging, clear out the weeds, put in some manure. But it's worth it. So I've got some here. I put them in the freezer. And I got this one here. Is that a fine specimen? That's not very good, is it? This one's a bit better, isn't it? So if someone came round for dinner, would you give them that? Well, if you snap that bit off, that's not bad, is it? But then I also got some of these, lots of these actually. Now, that's much better for when you invite someone round, isn't it? Yeah? Now, supposing our lives, if we think of our lives and we think, I've got the rest of this life on earth, and suppose I get to heaven, and that's what I'm presenting to Jesus. Would you present that? Or on that day of judgment, would you want to present him like that? Yeah? And making the best of the rest of our lives is like bringing something of worth to Jesus. Bringing something that's of worth. Does it get, if I go to the gates of heaven with this, would St. Peter say, "Oh yeah, Vic, come on in"? It's not just that. First of all, it's salvation, isn't it? It's been accepted by Jesus. Saying to Jesus, "Actually, I need your help." And actually, we can't produce this unless we ask God for his help. We can't produce it. I've tried. We can produce good fruit with God's help. Do you know what Jesus said? "Without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. In the Old Testament, it says, all your good deeds are like second-hand toilet paper. Actually, even worse than that. Deeds. We're not talking about deeds. We are talking this morning about worship. Here we've got we're going to have a look at the book of Romans, a little bit out of that. And in the book of Romans, Paul has gone on and on about lots of things. He's gone on about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me included. All have sinned. He tells us about we can't say Jesus is Lord unless we have the Spirit. He says, and he goes on about it, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? And he's going on, and he suddenly gets to the end of Romans chapter 11, and he's overwhelmed. And he writes this. Let's stand and say this together. Okay? Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. We're going to look at the next few verses together, but Paul has got so excited in describing the gospel to the Romans that he got to that point where he just needed to shout out praise to God. He might even have sung it. We don't know whether there was a tune to it. Quite probably. And then he comes to Romans chapter 12. And I've flipped on. Page 1139 in our Bibles. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, open our eyes to see wonderful things written here for us. Help us to learn from them this morning. Amen. He says, Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And the first thing I want us to consider is proper worship. Proper worship. First of all, St. Paul says to us, I urge you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. There's a sort of urgency, saying, come on, let's do it. He's got so excited, and he's saying to the Romans, come on, come on. Let's worship God. Let's worship him. And he says why we should worship him. We worship him because of God's mercy. God is really merciful. Do you know how much he's been merciful to you? Just pause for a moment and think. Just think. Now just think about the things that no one else knows about you and that God has forgiven you. God is really outstandingly merciful. Do you know he's much more merciful than the press? The press think naughty people need to be exposed. Are you grateful that you haven't been exposed? Because God is merciful. Just imagine if it appeared on the screen, all the things you'd ever done and thought. Perhaps the thinking might be even worse than the doing. But God is merciful. He knows every single thing about us. And he's been merciful. Isn't that something to shout about? Hey, God, you are rich in mercy because of your great love. It's wonderful. And Paul's saying, hey, come on. Come on. Let's do it. Let's do it. And then he goes on, let's offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. I've already said to you, this time of the year, going to dig the allotment is a bit of a sacrifice. I'd rather sit at home. But I won't reap the benefit. And here we have, he says, come on, let's say, no, no, God, I'll do it your way. I'll walk your path. That's what a living sacrifice is saying no to me yes to God. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Do you like picking up your cross every morning? Sometimes we forget, don't we? It's a bit tedious. It would be nice to be king for a day, wouldn't it? But we need to put that down and say, no, not my will, but yours be done. And he said, because this is holy and pleasing to God. And then he says, this is true worship. This is true worship. So what were we doing earlier? We were singing, we were putting up our hands, we were worshipping. But actually, St. Paul says that true worship is not only singing, but it's what we are thinking and doing right down inside. Yeah? Anyone can sing. Anyone can put their hands in the air. But St. Paul is saying true worship is actually saying to God, your will be done. Your will be done. Do you think it was difficult for Jesus to live on this earth? Do you remember on one occasion he sweated drops of blood? And that's where he said, not my will, but yours be done. He was submitting himself again to obeying his Father. And so we are called to make the best of the rest of our lives, and it involves all this. And the second thing is a new mindset. A new mindset. First part of that verse says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. We've been brought up in the world and we conform to the pattern of the world, don't we? Dad says, if he hits you, we conform, don't we? We learn right at the beginning. We learn. Because we don't want to look odd, do we? We don't want to look odd. So we conform to the pattern of this world. So the verse is saying, stop thinking as we used to think. Jesus gave lots of examples, didn't he? He said, the Old Testament says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That wasn't his way. Jesus said, love your enemies. Yeah? It's easy, isn't it, for our enemies to give them a good kicking. We think that, don't we? We don't actually, because we're respectable people, we don't do it, do we? But actually, that's how we sometimes think, don't we? Someone gets up our nose and we think, oh. Bible says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. That's not how we learn things, is it? No, no, that's mine. That's mine. Yeah? Little kids don't have to be taught to say that's mine, do they? Jesus said, go the extra mile. Someone asks you to do something and you think, I'm busy really. But Jesus says, go the extra mile. Jesus, when he was asked, where's your tax? He paid taxes, didn't he? Yeah. We're respectable, we don't avoid paying taxes, do we? Or do we? It's jolly hard trying to do all this, isn't it? Do you find that? It's jolly hard. And actually, all the while, God's saying, I'm not asking you to do it on your own. I'm saying, hey, come. We can do this together. We can do this together. And that's what we need to remember all the way through. I need to remember when I go down to the allotment that God's with me, helping me dig the allotment. It's a bit of a joke there, isn't it? And then he goes on. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul, not Saint Paul, Paul the musician, this morning said we need to think about what we're singing. But we need to renew our minds. We need to let our minds be transformed. How do we do that? How do we do that? We do that by listening to good preaching. We do that, most of all, by getting hold of our Bibles and reading our Bibles. Do you read your Bible? Do you read your Bible? Do you get help with reading your Bible? Or do you just sort of chunter through? Do you ask God to help you? This book is the biggest help we can get in renewing our minds. Can't commend it to you more. Find a time each day and don't let anyone steal it from you. Read your Bible. Is it a rule? No. It's like having your breakfast. You can miss out on having your breakfast, but you wouldn't want to keep doing it. You wouldn't want to give up eating. Listen, this is our food. We need to read. We need help. We need our minds renewed. We need them transformed. Lots of people misquote the Bible. Have you noticed? Money is the root of all evil. Is that right? It's not that, is it? It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Yeah? If we only know half the Bible, it doesn't help us. We need to know it, and to know it accurately. Okay? It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Someone came to do a job here in July, and it was a nice sunny day. And he said, "What have you been doing today?" I said, "I've been sitting out in the sun." And so he said, "The sun shines on the righteous." Is that the right scripture? That's only half of it, isn't it? The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. So I told him that. And he said, "Oh, well, thank you." Let's get to know the Word of God accurately, okay? We can't do it by just skipping through and thinking, "Oh, I remember somewhere. We need to work at it. Get people to help us. The third thing, the three areas that I just want to highlight. We've talked first a little bit about money. It's very easy when we become Christians to think our money is our own. Actually, the Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible says it all belongs to God. And he's just lent some of it to us. Have you ever made that adjustment in your mind? Actually, this doesn't belong to me. It actually belongs to God. The moment we do that, we perhaps are less flippant with how we treat our money. It should help us to be more generous, because God is a generous God. Jesus told lots of stories about money, didn't he? Do you remember there was a rich man who came to him one day, and this rich man said, what must I do to get into heaven? And so Jesus talks to him about the commandments, and he said, "Oh yeah, I've been working on that all the time." And then Jesus said, "Well, there's one thing that is missing, and that is you need to go and sell all you've got and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven." And the man went away very sad. See, he loved money more than he wanted to love God. He wanted to love God, but actually money was his God. There was a rich man Jesus told about, and there was a beggar at his door, and the rich man died. But the beggar also died, and he went to heaven, but the rich man went the other way. And Jesus tells the story, you know. You see, actually, our riches, our wealth, our money, all that God has lent to us can be a stumbling block. Do you remember Zacchaeus? He was into money in a big way, wasn't he? He made lots of money. When we went to Israel, in Jericho, they pointed out the tree that Zacchaeus was supposed to have climbed. Not sure that was Zacchaeus's tree, but it was a tree probably somewhere near where Zacchaeus might have been in Jericho. But Zacchaeus, he had an amazing transformation, didn't he? He said, if I've cheated anyone, I'll reimburse them. Didn't he? Amazing transformation. Because when we become Christians, we need to put to death the old god of money. And then in the early New Testament church, we get the story of Ananias and Sapphira, don't we? A sobering story. Something that we wish was not in the Bible, perhaps. And then there's the area of sex that we need to look at. And because the world bases its morality on the idea that we're just clever animals, doesn't it? That's what the scientists like to get us to think, that actually we are only animals, just a bit more clever than all the others. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, whether you like it or not, that this here Vic is made in the image of God. And so too you are you. And how we treat other people needs to be based on the fact that they're in the image of God. And we're in the image of God. The world says anything goes as long as you don't hurt anyone. There are lots of things about relationships in the Bible. There's King David, his relationship with Jonathan. King David and his relationship with Bathsheba. There's lots of things. And the third one is power. Have you found in your place of work, with your neighbours, people manipulating all the time? Manipulating. Trying to get their own way by doing this or doing that, or I'll tell on you. Yeah. Bullying of all sorts. I'm stronger than you. I've got more friends than you. The rich are looked up to, and the poor are downtrodden. A wife manipulates her husband. A husband treats wife badly. The world doesn't believe in God, so when it comes to living, it's the most powerful who think they own everything. They have a right. But Jesus said, I've come to serve. I've come to serve. It's all part of renewing our minds. Are you a taker or a server? Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are Blessed are the merciful, because they will obtain mercy. So we've got, first of all, proper worship, and then trying to renew our mind, a new mindset. And then Paul goes on to a great reward. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. The thing is that like digging on the allotment, unless I get the sweet corn at the end of the year, I won't have got anywhere. If I don't plant seeds, there is no reward, is there? Now, with this, we're not just talking about a reward in heaven, but he's saying, listen, I've tried this. This is how it works. As we surrender everything to God, we find that actually there's something inside that is worth so much more than anything the world can give. In another place in the New Testament, it says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Yeah, we want that peace, don't we? We want that peace. And that peace comes by worshipping God, in giving everything to him, in saying, here am I, use me. That's the proper worship. And we can only find that out as we go through this. It tells us in the verse, it says, it's God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is that we live this way. He says it's good. It's amazingly good. There's no rottenness about it. It's thoroughly pure. It's also pleasing. That means we can enjoy it. It is hard work. It will take determination, because we've got an enemy who's all the time on at us saying, no, no, you don't want to bother with that. Our lovely Father says to us, it's like perfecting a recipe. Yeah, do you like good food? Someone perfects a recipe. And when they've perfected the recipe, the proof is in the eating of it, isn't it? You think, oh yeah, I've got that just right. And the same thing applies to this, making the best of the rest of our lives. Do you know, we've got such an amazing gospel. We've got such a wonderful God. Let's not miss out. Let's enjoy him and enjoy our journey with him. Because as we do, we are investing in the kingdom of God. There's nothing else worth doing in this world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are truly amazing and wonderful. Thank you for opening our eyes just a little this morning. One day, Lord, by your grace, we'll see you face to face. But just for now, I'm going to walk with you and talk to you. And with your help, I'll grow like you more and more each day. Amen.